Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, Jordan's Minister of Planning tells us how the Syrian refugee crisis is taking its toll.
Fiscally, you're bleeding as a government. Your debt is growing, and you can't borrow more to continue providing services to the refugees because they're costing you every year to do that.
Of the nearly 5 million people fleeing civil war in Syria over the past 5 years, more than a million have ended up in Jordan. We tend to think of a refugee crisis as being all about providing humanitarian aid to the refugees, but the crisis hits host countries like Jordan hard as well. Imad Fakhouri, Jordan's Minister of Planning and International Cooperation, participated in a panel discussion about conflicts and the refugee crisis at the IMF World Bank spring meetings in April. Reporter Mark Betancourt sat down with him after the seminar, where they talked about the impacts of the refugee crisis on Jordan.
Since 2011 to 2015, we reached close to 1.3 million Syrians in Jordan. That's about 19% as a ratio to the Jordanian population, or about 14% of the total population. To put it in context, this is almost like above 60 million people walking into the U.S. So we had to absorb into our public schools close to 150,000 Syrian boys and girls. We have a 24% shortage of hospital beds. We have increased demand on water in a very poor country in terms of water availability. We have to deal with 1,700 tons of additional solid waste every day. It's very much like having a tsunami hit an island and devastated. It's a very slow-moving tsunami that really erodes your hard-earned development gains. And regresses you back from a sustainable development point of view and puts tremendous pressure on the country and its citizens.
And how has this impacted Jordan in a general sense, both economically and socially?
The annual burden of the refugee has been about $2 billion on average. Our debt has grown from 2011 to 2015 by 25%. Because fiscally, you're bleeding as a government. Your debt is growing. It leaves very little fiscal space to invest in your own development priorities nationally. And you can't borrow more to continue providing services to the refugees because they're costing you every year to do that. The international community has helped, but obviously, at best, it has never exceeded one-third of the total needs and costs, which meant that two-thirds of the needs remained unfulfilled, unmet. And that adds to the pressures.
These impacts that you're talking about obviously have to do with just the population growing. But is that also compounded by the fact that so many of those people aren't Jordanian citizens? Does it make it harder to provide for them?
Absolutely. I think what you're alluding to is this idea of the social cohesion. When 92% of the total Syrians are actually living amongst Jordanian communities, we only have 8% of the refugees in actual camps. So 92% are basically integrated across all our towns and villages. It slowly starts to push up the social tensions. So we have rents increasing by 300%. We have had Syrians start to work in the informal sector, pushing down wages. We've had Syrians that would work in areas that would compete with Jordanians. We have had our youth unemployment increase. Our studies are showing by 20 to 30% because of this increased pressure, because there are those who are willing to work for half the minimum wage or one third or whatever because they need to survive. So it crowds out the traditional jobs that would have gone to Jordanians at the minimum wage level.
What is the Jordan response plan? Is that specifically referred to the refugee crisis?
The Jordan response plan, Jordan pioneered with the UN agencies and the international community what is called a resilience-based approach to deal with refugees. So rather than just, you know, count on the humanitarian interventions, we decided since the refugees are staying in Jordan, they're not going to go home anytime soon, how can I turn the refugee crisis into an economic investment and development opportunity for Jordan, actually looking at the refugees as a surplus labor pool in your country. So we've decided to start allowing the refugees to work in areas that wouldn't displace Jordanians with a package that invests in the Jordanian economy, expands the growth rate, so expands the economic pie, and creates both Jordanian jobs and jobs for Syrian refugees. And we took some bold moves in this spring meeting at the World Bank and IMF, where there was historically a first breakthrough. The World Bank launched a concessionary financing facility for Jordan and Lebanon that is providing us with very cheap loans that are long-term to help us compensate for all the burdens we've carried and to help us finance the development needs going forward. The world also decided to provide some additional grants to invest in bringing back the education, the health, the municipal, and all other public services back to the levels that they should be at so that we continue providing the services at the same quality to our own citizens as well as continue providing services to the refugees.
Are these new financial concessions from the international community and the new funding that will be flowing going to be enough to make this plan work?
Unfortunately, it won't be enough. It's better than the prior levels, I have to admit. It's good for us as a country going forward, but what we were living on as borrowed time the past 5 years, no one is helping us to catch up with this much higher debt that has we incurred because of all of these difficulties.
Basically, this applies only to new debt, these concessions.
Exactly. Unfortunately, that's what it means. The heavy burden of the past 5 years continues to put a lot of pressure on us, and we're quite protective of our own macroeconomic stability and fiscal stability as a country. But we want also the international community and the IFIs to factor in all these pressures and to strike the right balance when we do these adjustment programs to enable us to continue doing what we do.
Why is it so important for Jordan to keep its borders open, to keep receiving so many refugees when obviously other parts of the world are not making that decision right now?
I think it's a very good question. For us, I mean, we very much respect the region we live in. It's not easy. When you see the images of these, the majority of the refugees running are women and children. And it's extremely very difficult for anybody to take a decision, you know, to just allow them to die and not to allow them to come in. And Jordan continues to play a very pivotal role in a very troubled region in terms of peace, security, stability, fighting extremism and terrorism. Jordan is a very big believer that we don't want the Syrians to become a lost generation. I mean, that would be a catastrophe for us as Jordan, because they're our neighbor in the north. And potentially, you know, if you become very marginalized and poor and no hope and no education, it becomes very easy recruitment for radical movements or extremists to take advantage of that. Unfortunately, you know, if we don't get sufficient help and we're at a point where we have to choose between the stability of Jordan and its economy versus continuing, you know, the borders, I think no one can blame the government of Jordan at that point in time if it has to take drastic measures, because at one point you have to make a decision about prioritizing. So a lot of that is at stake. The Jordan case study, if we succeed in it, could become a new model of how you deal with displaced and people and refugees. And we're now at an all-time high, the 60 million displaced people around the world. If the Jordan story succeeds with the partnership of the international community in this win-win approach, with the right elements holistically all coming together, that new model of investment and development should change the way we deal with refugees and displaced people for the other 60 million across the world.
That was Imad Fakhouri, Jordan's Minister of Planning and International Cooperation, talking to Mark Betancourt. You can watch the webcast of the IMF World Bank Spring Meeting Seminar entitled Conflicts and the Refugee Crisis, an International Call for Action at imf.org. can also hear more podcasts like this one on SoundCloud or iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.